same line as Tesla and Rife. And when I tell you that, I am serious. Some of the inventions this guy has brought out will boggle your mind, and we're going to have them by the end of the year. Things that are going to heal people, you are going to see. I've got a couple of them that he gave me already, and I mean, I feel very privileged that he's allowed me to see these things, but he's got a device, too, that you can put on your car, very simple to install, removes all hydrocarbons. That means no more emissions, guys. But that's huge, okay? Also gives you about 30 to 40% better fuel mileage. Very simple to put on. All you need is a screwdriver to do this. To back up real quick, about a year and a half, 2 years now, I've been trying to dialogue with this guy, getting him to do what he's told me he could do. And he's been very sick. He's been in the hospital for a good 6 months. Finally got out, and just like Tesla, who basically ended up living in squalor the rest of his, in his older days, Rife did the same thing. Well, this is what's happening to this guy as well. He's got a couple of his toes removed. He's got diabetes. He's got all kinds of stuff. Well, I put him on a protocol, and he's already doing fantastic. He's coming back. But I don't want to see him do that. I want to see him fulfill his destiny with greatness. This man is he's about 80 years old now, and he took me to the place where he gave people baths for, there's a specific bath that he put frequencies in and a specific water. And what it did was it cured people of third and fourth stage pancreatic cancer, all kinds of cancers. Yeah, and I can't learn all this because it's mind-boggling. I mean, it really is mind-boggling what this guy has done. And he's blessed and healed so many people, and now he needs help. So I would like to just pray for him if you guys are cool with that. Let me find him.
Hello?
Hey, Charles. Listen, we're gonna pray over you. The congregation here, and we're just gonna say a prayer over you, okay? Okay. Heavenly Father, we lift up Charles before you right now, and we thank you for the gift that he is to us, Lord, the gift to humanity. Father, we ask you that with greatness he would fulfill his destiny, Father God. We speak healing over his body right now. We speak healing over your body, Charles, right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Complete and total healing. You will fulfill your destiny with greatness, with greatness. There will be no more people that will be around you that do not have integrity. You will be surrounded by people of integrity. There will be no more of this nonsense of taking from you. You will now receive. And we speak the blood of Jesus Christ over this whole thing. And Father, we pray your hedge of protection over Charles right now, that you would strengthen him mind, body, and spirit. And Father, we thank you for great days ahead, great days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.
Woo, where do I go from here? I just felt like while we're on healing right now, let's lift up all those that need healing in their bodies and anybody that you could think of. Let's lift them up right now. And if it's you, keep your hands raised. You'll get a double. Father, we thank you and praise you for you're the healing God. Lord, we pour the blood of Jesus all over everyone that's in this place or outside, our friends and families, in the hospitals and in nursing homes, Lord, that we know that need your healing touch today. Lord, we call upon you. You are the healer. You're the deliverer. And Lord, we thank you for touching everyone's life, with restoration and health from the very top of their heads to the very soles of their feet. We call them all healed now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Okay, now we will receive the tithes and offerings. If you need an envelope this morning, raise your hand. Carla will come around and give you an envelope. If you want to give through a credit or debit card, just turn around and Matt's at the desk in the back. Yes. Basking Ridge, King of Kings. Cheyenne is speaking. A healing service in Basking Ridge. What time? 7 o'clock. If you're interested in going to New Jersey, Jersey. We all say Jersey different. How many are from Jersey? Yay, Jersey. Now, where are you from? New York City. That's close enough. And what is your name? George. How you doing, George? You were here before. Well, yes, welcome back. God touching you this morning? Good. I know. Okay, let's stretch our hands out. Okay, Father, we thank you for George coming out today, Lord. Lord, we thank you. You know him better than we do. So, Lord, we thank you right now for touching him, for healing him, for delivering him. Lord, set him free in the name of Jesus. Only you could do it. Holy Spirit, transform George from the top of his head to the very soles of his feet. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Woo. Glory. That young guy behind Vito. Josiah. Who's Josiah? Okay. Hi, Josiah. You've been here before, too? Yes. Okay. I recognize you. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. We don't have to be formal, right? Okay. I don't know. Oh, Lord, we give you praise this morning. We thank you for all what you're doing. We thank you for healing. You're doing okay, Dawn? Yeah, you sure? If you're not, we'll come and pray right now. Your hearing's not right? Oh, okay. All right, well, let's gather around Dawn right now and command that our ears open up. Okay. Well, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for Dawn to continue to restore her, restore everything that needs to be restored, the ringing in her ears. Open them up, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for completion in her body, wholeness, everything, brand new. Let it come. Ooh. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, just be all over her right now. Shh. Ooh. Thank you, Lord. And when two or three are gathered in his name and agree upon anything, and you know this, Dawn, it will come to pass. Amen. Yes. Doctor's in. He always has his shingle up here. And plus we have one real doctor, one almost real doctor. Okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to thank everyone for all the prayers. I did get to cross the finish line yesterday. I am Dr. Lolo now. And but I know I learned so much in the spirit through this process that you just can't, every time the resistance would come, I would just reach out for prayer. And it's definitely a Holy Spirit move. Even educational pursuits are just all Holy Spirit. So I just thank God. Rodney found out that he's barbecuing next Saturday for anyone who wants to come eat. He's like, can someone just tell me how much I gotta cook? But yeah, so we're having open house next Saturday for my graduation. Also, the twins turn 16, so we'll do sweet 16 and graduation. And you guys, that's your babies. They grew up here.
I was at the hospital when she just had them. When she said they were 16, I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, come on. No way. No way. Oh, Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. You got something to share? Come on up.
As you know, a lot of areas have been suffering the effects of tornadoes. And our son called us the other day, and he said, we saw that there was this massive storm coming to him, and he always calls Thursday nights after ice hockey. He plays goalie. And so he'll chat on the way home, which is fun. And he says, man, you should see this monster storm behind me. It is black. And I was like, okay, so we just pray hedge protection all around you. I said, how far from home are you? He said, 20 minutes. I said, okay, well, boogie, hurry up, get there. And so we just continued to pray. And then around 10:15 that night, we felt again real strongly to pray for him, hedge protection all around the property and everything like that. Next morning, he texts me and he says, hey, Mom, so no branches are down. Everybody's good. But we had a tornado come right up to the edge of our property at Clarksville and stop.
Yes.
Thank you, God.
God hears our prayers. Amen. Well, now I could pray. It's time to pray for the tithes and orphans. I'm sorry, I hear somebody's voice. Oh, Rita, you got something? Oh. I heard somebody say, hold on a minute or something. Oh, one more offering coming. Okay. Yes. Oh, 6 p.m., Basking Ridge, King of Kings, Cheyenne, 6 to 8:30. What time's the open house? 2 o'clock. You going to that? Okay. Oh, okay. All right. Sounds like God is moving all over. Are we ready yet, Matt? Are we done with the or? Okay. Oh, here she comes. Okay. All right, then. I'm going to lift up the basket, stretch out your hands. Let's believe God for provision. Father, we thank you and praise you. As we give unto you, we're given to your kingdom. And it says, as we give, it shall be given back unto us. But you reminded me today, tell the people, do not worry, but to seek him in everything, and he'll make a way where there seems to be no way. So, Lord, I thank you that every bill is paid on time, debt cancellations, forgiveness letters coming, bonuses, lots of favor, open doors. So, Father, I thank you. You're the great provider for your people, Lord. And we give you all the praise and all the glory for what you're going to do in our lives in the financial increase. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, God. Come on. Up. Don't be afraid of people. Okay, turn around.
Hi, everybody. At the beginning of this month, on my one bill, I put, Lord, you're going to pay that off. And he did, so hallelujah, hallelujah.
That's a good testimony. Glory. Paid off debts. Amen. How many need God to pay debts off? Yes, it's coming.
Amen.
And preventing death. Whew. Okay, announcements. I have to make new ones, but in the meantime, okay. There's no produce today, and if you're wondering why we're doing this kind of praise for now, because the worship team is on a sabbatical. They need a rest until the Lord says for them to come back, but in the meantime, we're going to enjoy worshiping and praising with all these people. all our brothers and sisters together. Amen. It's very powerful. So every Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock, we have our prayer time. If you're available, come on out and just pray with us. All our messages, unless it's said, they won't be posted because of certain reasons. They will be posted on our website, tfhcf.org. And I finally got confirmation from the Gatlins. Don and Debbie Gatlin will be back with us July 13th. On Sunday morning at 10:30, and then in June 22nd, Sunday, Ed Cowens will be back with us at 10:30, and then Dean in December. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! How are you guys doing this morning? Doing good, huh? Yeah. Lord, I don't know whether to share this now. You know, maybe I will. I'll share this now. Okay. For the past couple of days, the Lord says, I want you to pull out that prophecy that you got from Linda Grasso. It was April 8th, 2009 at 7 p.m. And I saved it. It's really starting to fall apart here. But this is what it says. This is during a House of David that we used to do here on, was it Friday night? I don't remember. It was Friday or Saturday. So she says, a room filled with believers, filled with a people waiting on the Lord. There are white columns in the room. A refreshing breeze is blowing in. There's a wonderful fragrance in that breeze, sweet. A people wait expectant. The Lord is in the shadows. There's a very pregnant silence as we wait. I hear hearts speaking, not asking for riches, not asking for any material thing, but hearts that cry out for the presence of our Lord. Waiting in expectation for the Lord to move. He is waiting to move for that Kairos moment to move in this place. This, in this congregation, an explosion in this house. The Lord will explode in this place. He will come out of the shadows and explode in your life, heart, and house. Glory to God. April 8th. April is 4, open door. 8 is new beginning. 9 is when the baby's born. Whoa. Did you get that? Well, you're prophetic people. Yeah, I held on to this for a long time, 16 years. That's double. Double 8 is what? New beginnings. Hallelujah. Wow. Glory to God. It's coming, guys. And Pentecost is 6-8. Man is 6. 8 is new beginnings. Yes, come on, Lord. Okay, the name of my message today is Jesus is saving the best wine for last. Oh, so Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for our bridegroom who's coming for his bride, who's pouring out his spirit upon all of us, filling us, recharging us, renewing us, making us live again. Lord, we thank you for that new filling, the new wine, Lord. We thank you that we're able to receive it. We thank you for blessing your people today. We thank you for pouring out your, it says in the last days, you're going to pour out your spirit on all flesh. All is all, right? That's including all the unsaved out there in every town that you live in, Easton, Lehigh Valley. He's going to be pouring it out. Glory to God. So today we're going to be talking about wine. Wine was significant in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Wine symbolizes joy, abundance, covenant blessings, Christ's blood, spiritual growth, and the Holy Spirit. Wine is used in biblical rituals like offerings, Passover, wedding vows, communion, other vows that are made between man and God, and also Jewish feasts and their festivals. Even many cultures, wine is toasted between business partners and business contracts or agreements. In the Old Testament, wine symbolized covenant blessings. The promise of abundant wine is often linked to God's flavor and fulfillment of his covenant promises. In Amos 9:13, it speaks of a time when the mountains shall drip sweet wine. It's an image of God's overflowing blessings upon his people. In the New Testament, wine represents the blood of Christ. This cup that is poured out for us is the new covenant in his blood, Luke 22:20. Wine becomes a powerful symbol of Christ's sacrifice and the new covenant he established for us. Wine in Scripture can symbolize the Holy Spirit and a spiritual transformation. In Ephesians 5:18, it says, "Do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." This suggests that just as wine in the natural alters one's state, so the Holy Spirit transforms our lives and alters us. One of the most well-known parables involving wine is that of the new wine cannot be put in old wineskins. So let's look up Luke 5:37-39, and Deja will probably put it up for you. And I'm going to read. Chapter 5:37-39. Reading out of the Passion. Ooh, glory. Here we go. "And who pours new wine into old wineskin? If someone did, the old wineskin would burst, and the new wine would be lost. New wine must always be poured into new wineskins. Yet you say old ways are better, and you refuse to even taste the new that I bring." Yeah. And I'm going to read it out of the New American Standard, because it says it a little different. And then I'm going to get into a background about the wineskins so we really understand what the heck they're talking about here. Because for many years, I didn't understand until you study really what a wineskin is, okay? So in the New American Standard, it says, Luke 5:36-39, it says, "No one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins, and it will be spilled out, and the skins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, wishes for new, for he says the old is good enough." Which part? The last part? Okay. Okay, it says, "And no one, after drinking old wine, wishes for new, for he says the old is good enough. They rather keep drinking the old stuff than the new stuff." So I looked up a little more about the wineskin and learned that wineskin is usually made of a goat skin with the insides lined with a pitch to waterproof it. If the wineskins are made of leather, then logically it should not be thrown away, as leather products usually last for a long time. It does not make sense to keep having to make new wineskins for new wine. The reason why old wineskins cannot hold new wine is because they become brittle and lose their elasticity. Thank you. As new wine ferments, gases are created and expands the wineskin. The old wineskin, being less elastic, will eventually burst because of the pressure inside and the new wine wasted. Interestingly, the word fresh, that's why I read it in the New American, it says fresh instead of new. Okay, where am I? Okay, so the word fresh is used to describe the wineskin used to contain new wine and not new. A fresh wineskin can be a new wineskin, but it can also refer to an old wineskin that has been reconditioned. Okay, you're getting it. Now listen to this part. A reconditioned wineskin is supple as new and is able to hold the new wine. To recondition it, an old wineskin needs to be cleaned and then soaked in oil. The wineskin is soaked until it is rejuvenated to its supple and soft state to be ready for the new wine. So old wineskins are not thrown away or being used to hold old wine. It can be made fresh again to hold the new wine. Woo! Isn't that interesting? So soaking the old wineskin in oil to recondition it, a person can soak himself, now we're looking at it spiritually, can soak himself in the presence of God in worship and in the word and in prayer. This parable is said right after teaching on fasting. Thus, this soaking should also include fasting and a combination of the other spiritual disciplines. It is to allow the Holy Spirit now to wash over us over and over again until our hearts and our spirits are tenderized, and we used to call it marinating. Remember, we used to marinate? To receive new things from God. This means taking time out to be quiet before the Lord. It is to allow God to speak once again afresh. A reconditioned wineskin is refreshed, flexible, passionate about the new things that God is doing. And it also seems to me that this parable includes new outpourings of the Holy Spirit in a change of seasons in an individual, a church, or even a nation. Hallelujah. So that's what a wineskin is. Now, I believe prophetically speaking what Jesus is saying to us right now, today, everything is going to change. The 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s up to now are all in the past. All things have passed away, and we have to embrace and move with the winds that are blowing now and move forward with what God is doing and saying. The church has become very stagnant, meaning it stopped flowing, it's standing still, not active, sluggish, dull, quiet, motionless, and no passion. We need to regain all this back. So are we going to receive the new? Are we going to be able to contain it? Or is our old structures, religion, and old mindsets going to reject what the Lord is pouring out? Can we get out of the way and let God do what he wants and stop putting him in a box? We talked about a box this morning a couple times. The old isn't going to work anymore. But we can soak ourselves with the Holy Spirit or in the Holy Spirit and get that oil of the Holy Spirit back in us. We then will be able to stretch ourselves and receive without fear everything that he wants to put in us and do. And this will revive us again. We'll be new again. We'll be restored. We'll be excited for God again, energized, enthusiastic, and filled with his passion. Woo! Can you see it? In Acts 1, when Jesus told the apostles and his disciples his instructions to them, he said, "Leave Jerusalem, but wait for the Father's promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit." We've been waiting. And Jesus said, "It will be poured out, and you will be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit." So they waited, and they prayed in the upper room. And the day of Pentecost was approaching. They had no idea what Jesus was saying to them, what it was going to be like, or what was coming, or that it was going to be poured out on Pentecost. Pentecost means 50. That means Jubilee. The Jews were all going to the temple to celebrate this day, because it's a feast day, and how the Lord brought them out of Egypt from the Passover over to the other side through the Red Sea. That was a celebration of their deliverance. So let's turn to Acts 2:1, and see what happened that day. And this is out of the Passion once again. And I believe Deja has that for us. Okay, good. So it said, "On the day Pentecost was being fulfilled, all the disciples were gathered in one place. Suddenly they heard a sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house." And now that house there means, doesn't mean upper room. It meant the house of the Lord, the temple. "From out of the heavenly realm, the roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could bear. Then all at once, a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. It separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each one of them. They were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit and were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages they had never learned. Now at that time, there were Jewish worshipers who had immigrated from many different lands to live in Jerusalem. When the people of the city heard the roaring sound, crowds came running to where it was coming from. Stunned over what was happening, because each one could hear the disciples speaking in his or her own language. Bewildered, they said to one another, 'Aren't these Galileans? So how is it that we hear them speaking in our own languages? We are northeastern Iranians, northwestern Iranians, Amalites, and those from Mesopotamia, Judea, east central Turkey, the coastal areas of the Black Sea, Asia, north central Turkey, southern Turkey, Egypt, Libyans who are neighbors of Cyrene, the visitors from all over the Roman Empire, both Jews and converts to Judea, Cretans and Arabs. Yet we hear them speaking of God's mighty wonders in our own dialects.' They all stood there dumbfounded, astonished, saying to one another, 'What is this phenomenon?' But others," listen to this, "but others poked fun at them, and they said, 'They're just drunk with new wine.'" Yes, and I'll get there. Hallelujah. Where am I? Okay. So I wanted you to notice that the believers were all filled, and yet there were still others that were standing by, and they started mocking them. And they said that they were drunk with new wine. The people that were filled look intoxicated. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. So there's still going to be people out there that aren't going to receive this next move of God. Okay? So let's continue reading Acts 2, 14, 21. This is Peter. Peter stood up with the 11 apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, my fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. You need to clearly understand what's happening here. These people are not drunk like you think they are, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is a fulfillment of what was prophesied through prophet Joel, for God says, this is what I will do in the last days. I will pour out my spirit on everybody and cause your sons and daughters to prophesy and your young men to see visions and your old men will experience dreams from God. The Holy Spirit will come upon all my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. I will reveal startling signs and wonders in the sky above and mighty miracles on the earth below. Blood and fire and pillars of clouds will appear, for the sun will be turned dark and the moon blood red before the great and awesome appearance of the day of the Lord. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Yes! Woohoo! So Peter was transformed immediately by the Holy Spirit. He started to preach and prophesy, and later on it says 3,000 souls were saved. Another parable about wine is when Jesus did his first miracle in John chapter 2, 1 through 11. Jesus is going to a wedding. So let's go and read that. John chapter 2, 1 through 11. Now, this is very prophetic too. "Now on the third day, there was a wedding feast in the Galilean village of Cana. And the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were all invited to the banquet. But with so many guests in attendance, they ran out of wine. And when Mary realized it, she came to him and asked, 'They have no more wine. Can't you do something about it?' Jesus replied, 'My dear one, don't you understand that if I do this, it won't change anything for you, but it will change everything for me. My hour of unveiling my power has not yet come.' Mary then went to the servers and told them, 'Whatever Jesus tells you, make sure that you do it.' Now there were 6 stone water pots standing nearby. They were meant to be used for a Jewish washing ritual. Each one held about 20 gallons or more. Jesus came to the servers and told them, 'Fill the pots with water right up to the very brim.' Then he said, 'Now fill your pitchers and take them to the master of ceremonies.' And when they poured out their pitcher for the master of ceremonies to sample, the water became wine. When he tasted the water that became wine, the master of the ceremonies was impressed, although he didn't know where the wine had come from, but the servers knew. He called the bridegroom over and said to him, 'Every host serves his best wine first until everyone has had a cup or two. Then he serves the wine of poor quality. But you, my friend, you've reserved the most exquisite wine until now.'" Hallelujah. Woo! So looking at these verses prophetically, in verse 2:1, the wedding took place on the third day. It was a Tuesday wedding as counted by the Hebrew week beginning on Sunday. The third day was chosen as the wedding day in ancient Judaism, because it is only on the third day of creation that God says it was good twice. Genesis 1:10 and 12. The day was considered twice blessed. Tuesdays were ideal for Jewish weddings, for that gave the guests time to get there after the Sabbath and remain for multiple days of the wedding feast. The third day is also a prophetic picture of the day of the resurrection glory, the day Jesus rose from the dead. This miracle is a revelation of going from death to resurrection, life, water to wine. It was a speculation that the wedding involved someone of Jesus' family, since Mary and his disciples were also in attendance. The ancient wedding often lasted 3 to 7 days. They needed a lot of wine. It seems apparent that Mary, that's Jesus' mother, might have had something to do with the wedding because she realized that they were running out of the wine. So running out of wine could represent running out of the power of the Holy Spirit. So she was hoping that Jesus would do something about it. And Mary knew her son had miracle power. Could you imagine having a son like that? Seeing all these little miracles. But Jesus at this time wanted to be discreet and not cause a big stir. So only the servers knew he was behind the miracle of the water turning to wine. Now, there were 6 water pots. Like I said before, 6 is the number of man. Man was made on the 6th day of creation. Jesus tells the servers to fill the pots with water right up to the brim, and the water changed to wine. When they tasted the wine, they called the bridegroom over and said, "Every host serves his best wine first until everyone has had a cup or two." That means they couldn't tell the difference, okay? "Then he serves the wine of poor quality last. But you, my friend, you reserved or saved the most best wine for last." Are we the servants of today that know there's a move of the Holy Spirit coming to a city near us to fulfill, to fill all mankind with the power and the fire of the Holy Spirit? He said, like he did in Joel 2 and Acts 2, "In the last days, I am going to pour out my spirit on all flesh." Jesus is saving his very best wine for last. This move of God is going to be so incredible. We can't even think what it's going to be like, right? We kind of, in our imagination, kind of think about it. It's going to be everything all at once, you know, and we're going to be part of it. Isn't that awesome? I'm so excited. Wow. Ooh, glory. Oh, it's early, too. Praise you, Jesus. Somebody like that. God doesn't need a long time to preach, right, to get the message across. Well, Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing. We thank you, Lord, that you answer our prayers. We thank you, Lord, that you fill us up. You recharge us when we need it. You know everything about us. You can even count the hairs on our head, and you know what they are. That's how much you care about us, because you know exactly where we're at, what we're doing, where we are, what we need. So, Father, we thank you. We know, Lord, there's always timing involved in everything. So, Father, we thank you that when your time is ready, you are going to pour out. But we're excited, and we are sensing in the spirit realm that it is stirring, and there's portals, and there's waves of your glory coming like never before. Even last night, me and Eric experienced this wind. This wind was so intense, we had the slider open. It blew our curtain down. It was like, where did that come from? It was like a suddenly. So I felt like, well, in the natural, God's doing it in the spirit realm. So, Lord, we thank you that the winds are blowing again. We thank you, Lord, we're excited again. We thank you, Lord, for all the salvations coming into your kingdom. We thank you, Lord, for touching your people, Lord. Lord, we thank you and praise you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Today, I'm here. Don't feel, you know, just come on up. Don't hesitate. We'll pray for you and have an awesome, great, Holy Spirit-filled, energized week with blessings and good health for yourself and everybody around you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.